John chapter 15, Gospel of John chapter 15. Our Lord, as a man, spent most of his time out of doors. He said that. He said, "The Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." He had no permanent dwelling place, no permanent house to dwell in, and that's fitting too, because our God dwelleth not in buildings made with hands. Everything's amazing, and everything about the Lord and His everything. The Lord created a garden. The first thing He created after the heavens and so forth was a garden. And He put the man in it to live there. And He Himself, the Lord who made the garden, I believe, walked in that garden. When we hear of Adam, the voice of God walking in the garden, I believe that's Christ, who is the Word, made flesh and dwelling amongst us. But our Lord, when He was here 2,000 years ago, He liked to resort to a garden, Garden of Gethsemane, where He was often found. That's where Judas knew to look for Him, because He was always there in the garden. Now, they had been sitting in chapter 13 and 14. They had been sitting in an upper room in Jerusalem. And the Lord had been speaking to them. And now, verse 31 of chapter 14, He says, the last line, "Arise, let us go hence." We're leaving. Get up, we're leaving. Let us go hence. And so they walked out of that upper room and were walking out of town. Now, Jerusalem was surrounded by gardens and vineyards. A very fruitful land, surrounded by olive gardens and vineyards and orchards and so forth. Our Lord was always, as a true bishop should be, was apt to teach. Always ready to teach, often using object lessons to point things out to them, parables and so forth. And I believe perhaps they were walking by a vineyard at this time. There were many there, and they were walking by a vineyard, and perhaps He pointed to one of those vines in that vineyard. And He said in chapter 15, verse 1, He said, "I am the true vine." You see, I believe this was because they were looking at these vines, and He just says this. I believe He's showing them. He says, "I am the true vine, and My Father is the husbandman." He says, "I'm the true vine, the." That means the only one. There are many here in this vineyard, as you see, but He says, "No, I am the vine. I am the true vine," meaning there's others that seem to be vines but are not. He says, "I am the one and only true," as opposed to counterfeit vine. A vine is the source of life and fruit to the branches. Everything comes from the vine. A vine is not just what you see above the ground, but a vine is the root also. Okay? So Christ says, I am the true vine. Now, I believe also he is referring to Old Testament scriptures. Let's turn to Psalm 80. Psalm 80. See, our Lord fulfilled every prophecy of the Christ. He must. Everything, every jot and tittle that was written in Old Testament scriptures about the coming Christ. Are you with me? Every jot and tittle, everything in God's Word written concerning the coming Christ. The Lord Jesus, who is the Christ, had to fulfill that. He had to typify it. I mean, fulfill it, that type. He had to say something about it or do it. He had to be it. That's fulfillment. That's why they were written. Are you with me? Now, he says, I am the true vine. Now, the vine is spoken of. The Christ is spoken of as a vine, the vine. Psalm 80, verses 8 through 11. Look at it. This is wonderful. David in prophecy says, thou hast brought a vine out of Egypt. We say the Lord didn't come out of Egypt. Yes, he did too. As a child, his supposed mother and father took him into Egypt, fleeing from that proclamation to kill the children. Remember? Came out of Egypt. Well, read on. Thou hast cast out the heathen and planted it, this vine. Thou preparest room before it. And it's caused it to take deep root, and it filled the land like a vine which spreads. A vine is one of the most rapidly spreading of all plants. And it fills the land. The hills were covered with the shadow of it. The boughs thereof were like the goodly cedars. See, this is a true vine, we're going to see. This is a true vine. This is a stately, magnificent, strong vine. Verse 11, she sent out her boughs unto the sea, her branches unto the river. In other words, this vine spread through all the earth. Christ said, I am the true vine. Look at Isaiah very quickly. Isaiah chapter 5. This is a wonderful prophecy of the Lord and his church. Isaiah 5, verse 1. Now will I sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard. And this is speaking of Christ the beloved, and his vineyard is the church. In a very fruitful hill. And he fenced it, gathered out the stones thereof, and planted it with the choicest vine. Choicest vine. Now our Lord said, go back to the text. Our Lord said, I am the true vine. I am the Christ. I am the one of whom David wrote. I'm the one of who Isaiah wrote, the vine. I am the vine. You are the vineyard, the branch. My Father, he said, is the husbandman. And as Isaiah prophesied, it's planted with the choicest vine. Our God, God the Father, God Almighty, is that great husbandman. A husbandman is a landowner. Back in these old days, a husbandman was a man who was very wealthy and had large land holdings, landowner. And he was, as it were, a farmer. That's what they did back then. Owned huge plantations and planted it with whatever they purposed to plant. Well, the scripture says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. God is the great landowner. And God Almighty, like a wise husbandman and landowner, chose the choicest vine, the best stock from which to raise his vineyard, or his church. a man. God Almighty chose a man, His beloved Son, to be the vine, to be the one, the source, the fountain of life from which all of His sons would grow and bring forth fruit to God's glory. Go back now to the text if you're not there. Christ said, I am the true vine. I am the true vine. Now, when we think of a vine, we tend to think of a spindly little, weak little thing like a, I don't know, a clematis vine or something of that sort. Boston ivy, don't we? When we think of vines, well, that's not vine. Christ said, I am the true vine. A true vine. That's a vine. Yes, it is. That's a vine. A grapevine. This is about 40 years old. Now, over in Israel, they have grape vineyards. Contrary to what experts may say, vineyards do grow grapes as long as the husband's able to grow grapes on them. If he's a good husbandman. Some of those vineyards are hundreds of years old. Some of those vines. Well, all of the vines were taken from a stock, an original stock. What a good picture that is. But our Lord said, I'm the true vine. Not a spindly little thing that the branches hold up. But I mean, you can put all your weight on vine. It's a good lesson in it. A true vine. I'll leave that right there where you can see a true vine. One that you can lean on. A mature vine. A stately vine. A strong vine supports the branches, not vice versa. The Lord Jesus Christ, He said, I'm the true vine. Everything is supported by me. Everything is held up by me. Everything. Scripture says He upholds all things by the word of His power. That's Christ, the Word, who upholds all things. And especially His church. He said, I'm the true vine. Strong, mature, been around for years. For years. That vine, I planted a vine in my on my land. That's what that came from. That's part of it. It was 35 years old when I planted it. You can imagine what the stump looks like. I mean, the real vine. That's just part of that stump. And it's now 45 years old. Well, Christ said, I'm the true vine, and you are the branches. Look at verse 5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. The vine doesn't depend on the branches. In no way. In no way. Does the vine derive anything from the branches? Right? But the branches get everything from the vine. Now he says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him. The same fact. It's a fact. Bringeth forth fruit. Much fruit. It's a good vine. I have one vine plant. Last year, well, the year before last, I got 15 gallons of grapes from one vine. 15 gallons. One vine. If it's a good vine, it brings forth much fruit. It said, if you're in the vine, and every branch brought forth fruit. Every branch. So, and unless you're vitally connected, our Lord says, to me, joined to me, you're a dead branch. You're a dead branch. Verse 4. Abide in me, I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except you abide in me. You can't live, you can't bear fruit except you are in the vine and the vine in you. Now look up at verse 2. He says, every branch, every eye, I want you to see that. This is the word of the Son of God. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Down in verse 6, it says, a man abide not in me, he's cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burnt. What does he mean, every branch in me? How can someone be in the vine and not bear fruit? No. No. What he's saying here is those that appear to be, those that say they are a part of Christ, those that say, make a profession of, the Jews of old, the Jews said they believe. They said they believe. They sure didn't show it. But they said they believe. Some thought they believed. Said they worshiped God, but they didn't. They didn't. And even now, many claim to be believers, like the Jews of old who claim to be waiting on the Christ. They claim to be waiting on the Christ, but when he came, they rejected him. And so many today still claim to be believers, but they're liars. Look with me at Matthew chapter 7, Gospel of Matthew chapter 7. One time John said to the Pharisees who made a pretense of religion and even came to hear John. And John, what John said to them as a faithful preacher, John said, bring forth fruit, meat, for repentance. If you really are, then act like it. Let's see something. James wrote a whole book about this. You say, he says, show me. Show me. Fruit. That's what you see, is it not? How do you know if someone is abiding in Christ or not? How do you know? Same way with the false prophets. Look at Matthew 7, verse 16. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns? Can't find fruit among thorns, can you? Figs of thistles? No. There are no figs in an old scrub bush. Even so. Verse 17, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. And every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits, or lack of them, you're going to know them. You're going to know them. Over there in our text, go back to our text. It says, men gather them, and they wither. They're off to themselves, and they're gathered by the men of the world. And they're off to themselves, and eventually they just wither up, and they're fit for the burning. Those who are not abiding in the vine, men gather them. They gather with men. and wither up, and they're burnt, taken away. But now, in our text, our Lord says in verse 2, every branch that beareth fruit, He purges it. He prunes it. This vine of mine, I prune it every year. Drastically, cut it back. Severely wound it. But it doesn't kill the vine. It makes it more fruitful. Makes it more fruitful. What a picture that is of our Lord and how His church issued forth from His wounds. Huh? Our Lord. This is not a beautiful vine, is it? It's not real beautiful. It's gnarled looking. Very rough looking, gnarled looking. Scripture says of Christ, when we see Him, there's no beauty that we should desire Him. That's what's wrong with all of these modern depictions of Jesus. So what you'll see is a Caucasian fella, pretty nice looking fella. No. Not the Son of God. When He was a man, the Scripture says, when we see Him, there's no beauty that we should desire Him. He hath no form or comeliness. In other words, He's very, very, very plain looking. Very plain looking. Looked like you couldn't pick Him out of a crowd. Among the Jews, He looked like typical curly-headed, dark-eyed, dark-skinned Jew, like anybody else. Couldn't pick Him out till He revealed Himself to you. Right? Well, and our God's people are pruned like branches. They must be. If they're not, they're not part of the vine. And it causes them to grow, bring forth fruit. These trials and afflictions and difficulties are not to hurt us, but rather to bring forth more fruit, fruit of faith. We're going to see in a moment what that fruit is. Christ said, now I am the vine. I am the true vine. A vine is the source of everything. Everything comes from the vine, as we said. Christ said, I am the true vine. He's the source of... Well, name something. Name something He's not the source of. In Him we live and move and have our being. Yea, all flesh, all human beings. God is life. John said life. The life was manifested. In Him we live and move. Everything receives their life from Him. And when He says it's over, He takes it. He ends it. He's the source of life, especially eternal life. Christ is life. To be found in Him is to have life, eternal life. He is the source of all righteousness, holiness, goodness, isn't it? There is no holiness, no goodness apart from God, is there? No one is good outside of being in Christ. Isn't that right? That's right. There's none good. Scripture says, none righteous. Not one. Probably wait. Yes, there is. He's called the righteous one, the holy one of Israel. The vine, Christ. One time someone came to Him, the rich young ruler, says, good master. He said, wait. Why do you call me good? There's none good but God. We should be very careful about using that term in reference to the sons of men. Scripture says there's none that doeth good. No, not one. There's none good but God. If anybody is good, considered good by God, oh, we're pretty good compared to one another, aren't we? I'm as good as the next man. What's that saying? Here's one worm. Here are two worms, two dogs. One dog says, I'm as good as that dog. Big deal. Still dogs. They comparing themselves with themselves, Scripture says, are not wise. But Christ now is the altogether lovely one, the holy, spotless, righteous one of God, the Son of the Most High God. Now, He is the righteous one. He is the good man. He's a good man. And our goodness, if God considers us good, it's in Him. He is made unto us righteousness, all goodness, wisdom. He's the source of all wisdom. I know men and women like to think that they're wise. Science. Paul said to young Timothy, a preacher, he said, you avoid science, falsely so called. Ever read that? Paul told the young preacher Timothy, you avoid it. Don't get involved in it. Don't answer it. Don't argue with it. Don't try to disprove it. Science, falsely so called. What does that mean? Science means the study of truth. The study of truth. Yeah, right. All science begins with a hypothesis, which is what? What is a hypothesis? An educated guess. It doesn't start with truth. It starts with a guess. A man says, I think the world is 1 billion years old. Well, I think you're wrong. I think it's 2 billion. Another fellow says, well, I think you're both wrong. I think it's 10 billion. Well, they say, well, let's come up with an even figure. We'll call it 4. Okay. We're starting with the truth. Yeah, right. Idiots. Avoid it. Avoid it. Christ is the source. Didn't mean to, that wasn't worth my breath. Christ is the source of all wisdom. He refuted, he put down, he reduced the wisest doctors, lawyers, Pharisees, everybody of his day, philosophers of his days, they all ganged up on him, tried to catch him at his words, try to refute what he was saying, and when they left they were all babbling idiots. I love that. As we noted Wednesday night, after he answered all their questions, and they all perceived that he answered so wisely and so marvelously, they were amazed. Even his enemies, those who wanted to debate with him, were amazed, John, at his answer. They'd never heard anything like that. Why? Because this is wisdom from above. This is not man's finite wisdom. If you want wisdom, you start with Christ. If you want real wisdom, to know who God is, to know what you are, to know what this is all about, it's only found in Christ. He's made unto us wisdom. But after they asked all their questions, it says after he answered all their questions, it reads, and no man durst any more ask him any more questions. They couldn't. They were ashamed to. They were embarrassed. Nicodemus, one of the greatest minds of the bunch. Nicodemus came to him one time and our Lord kind of mocked him. He said, are you a master in Israel? Are you a teacher? And you don't understand these things? You're teaching others and you don't understand the basics? And then our Lord asked one question. Do you remember? Our Lord asked them all. I'm going to ask you all one question. He asked that one question. And nobody there could answer it. Nobody. Like Samson. Samson's a good type of the Lord Jesus Christ. He asked that riddle. Remember? Nobody could answer it. Nobody. Save he to whom he revealed it. He revealed it to his bride. Ah, boy. I'm the vine, the source of all wisdom, the source of all strength. Remember now, the true vine. The branches are held up by the vine. I'm not going to raise my voice one time this morning. If you get anything out of it, the Lord's going to have to raise your soul. Raise you up to this. No one lives without Christ, the true vine. No one lives separated from Him. He that abideth in me, Christ said, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Now listen, it says, he that abideth in me, the smallest twig. Sarah, that you're a good listener. I appreciate that. That's why I call your name. Anybody, if I call your name, it's not to embarrass you or point you out. It's because you're listening to me. I'm trying to talk to people who are listening to me. You ever talk to anybody that's not listening to you? You'd rather just shut up and leave, wouldn't you? But thank God so many of you listen carefully. So I call your name, Christopher. Not trying to embarrass you. Here I'm standing in front of you, embarrassed every Sunday. Everybody here is looking at me. But I'm talking to people. That's why I call your name. And I'm going to keep doing it. All right? Kelly. The smallest twig attached to the vine is a part of the vine. Now, I'm not saying you're small. I'm just saying the youngest believer, the weakest believer, attached to the vine, is part of the vine. It all, whether it's a huge vine like that, huge branch, or a little tiny twig, if it's attached. Faith? You mean you have faith? Oh, I believe, but I don't feel like you. Oh, you do believe, though, huh? Do you? Yeah, but no, wait, no. Don't, but. That means you have life. Didn't have it before. Branch can't produce sap. It comes from the vine. And it bringeth forth much fruit. Now, not at first. A little tiny branch brings forth huge clusters of grapes, right? No, not at first. But it does bud and bloom, doesn't it? Doesn't it? You're husbandmen. Doesn't it? You planted some old cherry. Henry planted some cherry trees and behind his house, and one year he told me to come down and get all I wanted. Man, I've never seen so many cherries in all my life. Man. But when you first planted them, they didn't. Every little branch didn't just bloom or full of cherries, did it? But if they were alive, they bloomed. But they, eventually they'll produce much fruit, but it comes after a time, doesn't it? As it grows. Now, let me ask and answer two questions. All right? What is it to abide in Christ? Our Lord says this 9 times. It must be important. 9 times the Lord says, except you abide in me, abide, abide, abide. Abide. 9 times. Must be important. You don't have life for that. All right, what is it to abide in Christ and he in you? And secondly, what is this fruit that must be born? What is it? Are you interested? John, you nodded your head. Okay. This is for you. What is it to abide in Christ? The word abide means to dwell. It means that's where you live. The word abide means, very simply, to stay in place. Not visiting. Abide. The word abide means to continue. You'll notice the word abide is always present tense. It doesn't say that he that used to abide. abide. If the word abide means to be present, to be there. Someone abides somewhere, that's where they are. Right? That's where you'll find them. Abide. The word abide means to remain. The word abide means to endure. The word abide means to stand. What does it mean to abide in Christ and He in you? Well, first, we have to say what it means for Christ to abide in us. Because if He were not in us, we would not be in Him. Christ said, I in you. In God's time, this is how it happened. In God's time, He sends this. This is seed. God's the great husbandman, owner of all the universe. All souls are mine, God said. This is the seed. This is the life-giving seed. Peter said, this is the incorruptible seed by which we're born from above, which life is given, spiritual life. In the process of time, in God, in the fullness of time, God, the Holy Spirit, who's the wind that bloweth where it listeth, takes a seed, the preaching of which, God's Word. More specifically, what's the seed? What's the seed? Just Bible? Well, He preaches about, what is this book all about? What is the core of the apple? What is the seed? What is the seed? Christ is the seed. The woman's seed, the seed of Abraham. He is the seed, the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. His seed that remains in God's people, abides there. God the Holy Spirit, in time, to whom He will, takes this Word and old ground, fallow ground, never been life there before, but fallow man. Never been life there before. And God Almighty, through the process of breaking and churning and up by the same Word, convicts, convinces, open, breaks up like an old hard piece of ground. The heart. And pours in this seed, which speaks of Christ. And makes it take root. Oh, it just doesn't go through here and out into the draft. It takes root. It's there to abide. It's there to stay. And that seed, which is Christ, which is the gospel of Christ, begins to grow. And it breaks forth. Something growing in you is going to start sticking out, isn't it? Hannah, that's the reason it was called the pregnant gospel. The old writers used to call, in case anybody didn't know, Hannah Parks is pregnant. What a wonderful thing. Life comes from God. What a good picture. Well, she started, I noticed this morning, is it clothes getting a little tight on you? She's starting to stick out. That's good, isn't it? It means there's life there. It means there's life there. So it is with God's people. Wherever the seed is planted, Christ will start sticking out. It'll start showing on you. As old Brother Barnard used to say, when God saves a man, the old hound dog will know about it. Even the old hound dog will know about it. The neighbor. Hello, Joe. You never spoke to me before. What is it? Is my cow on your land this time? No, no. Have a good time. Seed is planted, begins to grow, and produces fruit. Christ in you. Christ, the gospel, it's all synonymous. Truth, gospel of Christ, quickens, gives life. That's what quicken means. And that person becomes alive unto God. They were dead before. The things of God didn't interest them. People of God, they weren't their companions. They loved the world and the things of the world. That's a mark of death. Dead things, dead people, dying people, dead things, living among the tombs, like that crazy man lived among the tombs with dead people. God's people don't live among the tombs. This is not the land of the living. This is the land of the dying. You leave here to go to the land of the living. And these are your companions. They become your companions. They're alive unto God through Christ. Spirit of Christ begins to abide in them, set up residence there. The Holy Spirit, Spirit, truth, leads and guides into all truth, begins to direct their steps, begins to instruct them. The Spirit of God, the Father, teaches them, leads them, guides them into all truth. They grow like you do your children. You feed them and nurture them, and they grow up into young men, old men. That's the way it is. All from the seed, Christ in us. All right, what does it mean? And now, if that life's there, it stays there, right? It's that. What does it mean for us to abide in Christ? What does it mean for us to abide in Christ? Let me tell you what the word means again, okay? The word means to dwell. It means it's life. Whenever you hear somebody say this, and I'm not making someone an offender at a word, but generally, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Whenever you hear somebody say, Christ is a big part of my life, they don't know Christ. Paul in Colossians 3, when he talked about the believer and his relationship with Christ, he said, Christ, our life. We don't have life apart from Christ. And our life, it's not like we have a life apart from Christ. It's not like here's my life and then here's Christ as part of it. And whenever I want to, that's a good picture of modern religion, isn't it? Whenever I let him come in the door. No. You don't understand. If somebody's in you, I mean, they're living. It's life. Christ, our life. Christ, our life, to dwell. This gospel, this worship, this what we're doing here is not a part of your life. This is life. Let's ask Peter and the boys. Let's ask the apostles. Our Lord said, everybody's leaving. Will you go? And they said, where are we going to go? To whom shall we go? To whom shall we go? Peter said, thou hast the words of life. This is not just religion, Peter said. This is life. We were dead before you came. You've given us life. We were rowing along it, row your boat. We were dead and gone until you came by. Now we have life. Eternal life. Your life. You are our life. In you we've lived for 3.5 years. Totally dependent on you. Soaked up everything from you. Gathered everything from you. You are our life. Not part of it. A man and a woman who are truly married. They don't have separate careers. They might have jobs to meet expenses, but when two people become one, how can you have separate careers when you're one? You can't go in two different directions. No, you just work to meet expenses to pay the bills, but you are each other's career. A career, a life spent in service to the other. Well, that's just a fact. It's either so or it's not. Just like if Christ is your life, He's your life. He's not a part of it. It's not a convenient part of it. To abide in Christ means to be present. There's an old tree out here on this lot, that poplar tree. You don't pay much attention to it, do you? You men do when you cut the grass. It's been there for a long time, hasn't it? That was probably here before this building was here. I'm sure it was. It's probably 100 years old. Big old tree. Well, when you come back next Sunday, it's still going to be there. And you come back the next Sunday, it's there. What is it doing? It's abiding. Christ said, where I am, where the carcass is, that's where the eagles are going to gather. Where the shepherd is, you'll find the sheep. What's he doing out there? Must not be a sheep. Needs to abide. What could be simpler? Huh? What could be simpler? To dwell, be present, needs to remain, to endure, stand. Must be alive, there to stay. When Christ, wherever Christ is, that's where the branches are. Where the branches are. Present, in place, abide. As I said, the word abide means it's present tense. Present tense. Continual. Like I said, the disciples could not go away. They could not. The Lord was trying and testing them. There's a door. There's a door. Go ahead. They couldn't. They couldn't. Why? You'd have to cut them off. If they're apart, you have to cut them off. Cast them away. Oh, Christ won't cut off anybody. Oh, no. Never. Never. Demas, though, there was a fellow named Demas. Christ said, he's forsaken me. Why? He didn't love Christ. Everybody thought he did. He loved this present world. He's gone. John, one time, John said this. He said, they went out from us because they were not of us. For if they had been of us, no doubt they would have remained with us. Why? Because he that abideth in Christ, that means that's where they are. This is the words of the Son of God. Right? That's the word. How do you know someone is abiding? All right, someone appears to be abiding. They're there. They're always there. At least you know that much. Where the gospel's preached, whenever, that's where they'll be found, if at all possible. Well, how do you know they're abiding, living in Christ? They bear fruit. They bear fruit. They bear fruit. Look back in our text. Verse 5, our Lord said, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Verse 8, he says, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. This glorifies the husbandman, does it not? The husbandman is not glorified if something doesn't bear fruit. He brings his friends out to show, or he comes out himself one day to pick some fruit and to enjoy it. Comes out like the fig tree. Remember our Lord in the fig tree? He came by, he was hungry, and there was no fruit on that fig tree. He said, cut it down. And it eventually, it's going to be done. Beareth fruit. What is this fruit? What is this fruit? Turn very quickly to Galatians 5. I'm going to have you turn to two more verses, two more passages of Scripture, okay? And then I'm through. I'm out of here. I'm out of town. Galatians 5. Galatians 5. Fruit. Now, notice with me, fruit is singular. Notice that, Melanie? It doesn't say fruits. It says fruit. Why? Because it's all there. It's all makes a, you can't have one without the other. It's all together. Fruit. Fruit. Galatians 5, look at verses 22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit, meaning it's all what the Spirit produces. Can't have one without the other. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, Peace. Now, I could take each one of these and go down through here and show you how each one leads into the other. How each one produces the other. Love, joy, peace. Love to God produces joy. Love for the gospel produces joy, joy, peace. Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Fruits of the Spirit. Fruit. It's all there. It's all there. It's all growing. If it's not there, it's not a part of the vine. If it's not growing, not a part of the vine. Now, I'm not trying to discourage anybody, okay? And I don't want you looking for fruit on your own tree. I'm not trying to get you to look at your own fruit. But it's just a fact now. Our Lord, the Lord is the one saying this, isn't it? If there's not fruit, there's no root. It's not a part of the vine. It's not there. And if it's not growing, the same bringeth forth much fruit. The vine keeps growing and growing, keeps growing and growing and growing. Cut back growth. Keep producing. Men and women, believers, like fruit. Their graces, that which comes from Christ Himself, grows. They grow sweeter. Like fruit. You know, as fruit ripens, what does it do? It gets sweeter. It gets sweeter. Your dad, Stephen, your dad was an old softy, wasn't he? He got so ripe, he just mushy. Never met a sweeter man. Now, a rough exterior. It's all on the outside. Wasn't it? That's the way it is with God's people. They don't grow mean. If they're growing meaner, they're not in Christ. That's just so. And they're going to be cut down. A man or a woman to grow sweeter. Love. What's the first fruit? What did Christ say is the first fruit? What's the first fruit? Love. He that loveth not knoweth not God. Our Lord said, he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen. Who's my brother? Who's sitting beside you right now? How could they love God whom they hadn't seen? They don't. They don't. But everybody that abideth in Christ, love. They love. Had somebody say to me one time, well, there's different kinds of love. Where does it say that? Where does it say that? Scripture knows only one kind of love. Look at it. Look at what our Lord said in John 15, verse 12 and 13. He says, this is my commandment, not an option, that ye love one another. How? How? How is love, how does love show itself? As I loved you. You lay down your life. You lay down your own thoughts, your own pursuits, your own. Our Lord said, a man that is married loveth his wife as himself. We love ourselves. Yeah, we do. Everybody in here loves yourself. I don't care what we say. We do. How do you know? You spend money on yourself. You spend time on yourself. You think of yourself. It's just so. Well, our Lord said, he that's truly married loves his wife as himself, thinks of her as himself. He that's married to Christ thinks of Christ, loves Christ as himself, spends money, time, never a day without thoughts of him. Love, love. You ask me what love is, you young people, searching for love. People, listen to me. You don't search for love. Love finds you. That's what's wrong with this bachelor program. I'm sure nobody in here watches that. But if you do, that's what's wrong with that. You don't pick and choose. Love finds you. What a good picture of Christ that is, huh? God who is love. We're looking for him. He found us. Love finds you. And after it finds you, you're not looking for anybody yet. Well, I'm in love with two men. You ain't love. Right? Love finds you. Wait on it. Ask the Lord to send you true love. And then if somebody says they don't love you or whatever, and if it doesn't last, don't worry about it. True thing comes along, it'll last. Love never fails. Never. Somebody says, I don't love you. I never did. Love never fails. And wait on it. God's love is everlasting, is it not? So is his people's love. That fruit remaineth, abideth. They love God, and they're always going to love God. They love the gospel from the day they heard it, and they're always going to love it. Matter of fact, it's going to get sweeter to them. The older they get, the more they... Preached about as simple a message as I could preach last Sunday, Brother Henry. Brother Henry's heard 4 million sermons. He came up to me with a big old smile on his face. Old softy. Here's another one. Old softy. Isn't he, Roberta? He's gotten sweeter since I've known him. Would you say the same thing about me, please? I know I was tough on you at first. I know I was, buddy. I know how you sat there. I know why you're still sitting there. Must be abiding in Christ. I can't run you off, no matter how mean I got to you. But I hope I'm sweetening up. I hope the messages get sweeter without compromise. And our Lord said this. He said, this is my commandment in our text. He said that you love one another as I have loved you. These things I command you, that you love one another. It's not only there, it's there. And it's not something you can produce either. It's not something you can produce. It's there, it's not. It's like love for the gospel. So nobody can force that. I can't force anyone to love this message. Or God, the Holy Spirit does. He puts that love in the heart. And it's there to stay. And never quit loving the gospel. And yet, our Lord said there, he said, continue in my love. Didn't it, Deborah? He said, continue in my love. If my words abide in you and you continue in my love, then you're my disciples indeed. Continue in my love. What does that mean? Whenever a plant is under the... A plant is outside under the rain, the influences of the sun. As long as it's under the influences of the sun and the rain, it's what's it going to do? Grow. Continue in my love. Continue under the sound of my words. Only way faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. This is how we grow. And not out from under it. Cut off. This is life. Not just a sermon. These are the words of the Son of God. All right. Let's sing in closing. Abide in me. What, 175? 75. A good hymn. to sing 75, hymn number 75. Stand as we sing. 75.